Welcome to Yacht Crew Vlogs, where we tell the stories of those in the yachting industry. A behind-the-scenes look that discovers the individuals in the industry, their history, their passions, and what inspires them to do what they do.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Yacht Crew Vlogs right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Rhea. I am your host, and I'm very pleased to welcome my next guest, Tim Geisler. He is the lead sailing instructor of Nautilus Sailing. How are you and welcome?
Doing great. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, well, I mean, I came across you through a mutual friend of ours, of course. There's something about sailing that really quite fascinates me, actually. And I've never had the opportunity to go sailing. I mean, yes, on lakes and you know, small sailing boats and windsurfing and that kind of thing. But I've never had the opportunity to go sailing. And there's something about sailors that there's just a passion that, you know, is sort of inbuilt into them. Tell me a little bit about yourself. Where are you from and what got you into sailing in the first place?
So my parents, I'll start with my parents. My parents were super adventurous, kind of global nomads. So I was actually born in Morocco and lived in Morocco till I was 10. And then from there, they moved to Southern Spain. And every break we had, it was a crazy adventure. It's like, let's go to Portugal, remote place in Portugal. Or my dad would have this great idea for spring break. Let's drive across the northern part of the Sahara, or let's go up to Switzerland or whatever. So I grew up just with this amazing adventurous family and just had a love of traveling and just exploring new places, meeting new people, tasting the food, all that kind of stuff. And honestly, growing up, I didn't know much about sailing at all. My perception of sailing is I pictured a bunch of elderly white gentlemen in their blazers, you know, sipping G&Ts at the yacht club and maybe occasionally wandering down to an old wooden boat and polishing the teak. And that was about it. I was like, why would anyone ever want to do this? It seems very boring. And so that was kind of my perception of sailing, and went to university in Southern California and just developed a passion for surfing, fell in love with surfing. So some buddies and I, we started traveling all over the world to chase waves from Mexico to Costa Rica, El Salvador, Indonesia, Tahiti, Fiji, all these places, and just love just the island lifestyle. And it wasn't till I was in my mid-20s, I wanted to become scuba certified. So I went to the Bahamas and did a PADI scuba diving course there. We finished early, and the last day, the scuba diving company said, hey, we've got this beautiful 50-foot wooden sailing boat. Do you guys want to go sailing? And I thought, yeah, sure, why not? So we hopped on this beautiful boat. We're sailing out to these little tiny islands, and the Bahamas has just these amazing shelves where it's about 15 feet deep for miles and just beautiful blue water. Drop the anchor, and gentleman with dreads, one of the deckhands, is like, hey, man, you want lobster? And I was like, sure. And so next thing we know, he's jumping overboard, and like 15 minutes later, he comes up with like four or five pound lobsters just flapping, you know, basically throws them on the grill. And that's when the light bulb went off for you. And it was like, oh my gosh, this sailing thing is amazing. It's that you can have a floating home that can be your platform for adventure and discovery. And so I just thought, this is it. This is amazing. I can sail around the world chasing waves and looking for lobster and all that. And so I went back to Southern California, and that's when I just decided to, I've got to learn how to sail. And so started embarking kind of on that phase of my journey.
Wow. You've had quite the adventure then.
I've been fortunate. Again, I love traveling and love exploring and meeting new people and seeing new cultures and places.
So what took you then from this greenie going onto a sailboat for the first time with, you know, finally realizing that sailing wasn't just for, you know, old white men? What took you from that point to becoming an expert sailor and being able to, of course, you know, launch Nautilus Sailing?
For many years, when I learned how to sail, I was actually working in education in inner city Los Angeles. So we worked in kind of the real, you know, the real hood, basically. And so I was a full-time classroom teacher. My wife was also, I also was a master teacher. So I helped train new teachers and get them used to it. And we were developing experimental education programs to help these immigrant kids who just showed up in inner city LA with not a word of English. You know, and these kids are supposed to be learning in English. So we developed all these programs. And during that time, when I learned how to sail, all of my instructors, Rhea, it was crazy. Like the first time I got on a boat, the guy walks down the dock and he looks like something out of Hemingway's Old Man in the Sea, you know, just the grizzled beard and sun kind of weather-beaten face. And he was in his 70s and just, you know, over the course of the 2 years that I learned how to sail, I had probably 8 different instructors, and all of them were just these elderly gentlemen, and they had a lot of amazing experience. And so they were great sailors, but they had no idea how to teach. And so I can vividly remember some of the early lessons sitting on the boat and the guys just yelling like, "Don't touch it! What are you doing? Pop that now!" It was just like, wow. And so the learning environment, just from my experience in education, was like, this is not the way you teach people. And so learned how to sail in spite of folks like that. And, you know, it took me 2 years. And a lot of places when you learn how to sail, you go to some coastal city and you learn on smaller boats, or you go for a couple hours, and over the, you know, a couple of years, you get your certification, then you start sailing. And so it was a long process. And so we became avid sailors. My wife and I would sail in Southern California. Whenever we had a vacation, we would do charters and go to the BVIs or, you know, Thailand or the Whitsunday Islands in Australia and all that. And it was just an amazing, amazing adventure. We love that. I went on from education, went into international project management, and about 12 years later, after learning how to sail, the world crashed. So yes, in 2008, you know, the global economy just crashed. Here in the States, we got hit really hard with the subprime mortgage, the whole industry imploding. And we had a really rough couple of months where I lost my corporate job. We lost the home we were building, found out our contractor was way over budget. We had, you know, some investment properties and all of our tenants started defaulting, couldn't pay. And so it was just a really tough time where we just lost everything, had some job offers. But we kind of decided, you know what, let's take a chance to stop, pause, reflect, and really think about what do we want next. And so it was kind of an opportunity for us to kind of craft the next stage of our journey. And during that time, we moved to Hawaii, lived with some family out there, and we kind of realized, let's do something that we're passionate about, something we really enjoy. And it was then that we realized that sailing was just one of the things we enjoyed the most. It gave us such a sense of freedom and just joy. And there was a beauty in casting off the dock lines and going out to a little bay where it was just you and the people you love most, just away from the hustle and the bustle. And so over that time, we thought, well, how about we start a sailing school? And we're going to do it differently because of our background in education. We're going to base it on really solid fundamental educational practices. And then we also realized, what do you do if you learn how to sail and you're from Colorado or you're from the Okanagan Valley or from, you know, from wherever? How are you supposed to get to a coastal town every Saturday or Sunday for a couple hours? So we came up with the idea. We kind of copied the aviation industry where they were doing intensive kind of pilot training courses. And we started doing the same thing in the sailing world where we basically would do these week-long liveaboard sailing courses that are really intense, where you're learning lots, but you're fully immersed. You're living on a sailboat. You're sailing between islands. So you're getting real world experience. And in the process, we'll get you your formal certifications. So that was kind of how it started for us. And it's been amazing. You know, you look at life and think, what would have happened had 2008 not happened and the crash and all that? And it really has been a blessing in a way for us. Very hard going through it initially. But now where we're at, it's a beautiful thing. And it's kind of led us to a new place in life.
So I guess that is really what sets you apart then from any other sort of version of learning how to sail. And I would imagine that at the end of the day, the cost is pretty much the same, except for yours is just more intensive and you actually get to really immerse yourself in sailing.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, I mean, who has 2 years now, right, to dedicate to something? And everyone, especially in America, I mean, we have this archaic, ridiculous vacation policy where most people, you know, even after 10, 15 years, they get 2 weeks vacation a year. What are you supposed to do with that? And so for us, we can offer, here's a week-long course. You fly in a Saturday, fly out the next Saturday. You're going to have an amazing, life-changing vacation, exploring a place that you've never probably been before. And you're going to see it all from the deck of a boat. And you're going to walk away with these life skills where you can then go out and charter boats on your own. Or you know what? We have a lot of people that are, they want to sail around the world. They're like, I'm going to take a sabbatical with my wife and kids, buy a boat, and I'm going to sail through the Caribbean for a year. Or we have couples like, hey, we're going to retire now and we want to circumnavigate. So it is a great way to learn how to sail.
Well, for the longest time there, we saw that the number of people coming into the maritime industry weren't heading in the sailing sort of side of things. It was more into the motorboat. So sailing was becoming almost a dying art, as it were.
Yes.
Do you find that this type of thing is starting to end? I mean, of course, the pandemic, et cetera. Do you find that circumstances are changing that and people are starting to look at sailing in a different light again?
Hugely. And I think it's been a beautiful shift and transition. When I started sailing, nobody my age was sailing, right? And so when we first started Nautilus Sailing, 82% of all the people that were taking these certification courses through the American Sailing Association were between the ages of 60 and 75. Where are the people that were in their 30s and 40s and wanted to surf their way around the world or go on beautiful paddleboarding trips or scuba diving trips on a sailboat? And so we really worked hard to bring in a younger demographic, because it really did have kind of the folks that were involved in sailing were definitely an older demographic. And what's been really neat, probably in the last 8 to 10 years, there's all these young couples that are sailing around the world. And with YouTube, they're documenting their adventures and their travels and their journeys on video blogs. And because of that, the popularity of sailing has exploded with a younger demographic, because people can see, hey, I can spend a little bit of money, buy a boat, and sail around the world for a couple of years. Why not? And so that has been really, really beneficial and a huge just kind of boon for, you know, for the sailing industry, and a really good thing.
And do you find that more and more families are deciding that, you know what, we're going to forget conventional schooling, we're going to take our kids out of school, we're going to put them on a sailboat, we're going to sail around the world, they're going to do online schooling, because that's a possibility now, and they're going to get real life skills?
Yes. I think that's one of the most exciting demographics that we've seen kind of come to sailing in the last even 5 years, is the families. And it's successful folks that have careers, they have businesses, and they want to set out or just take a break for a year. In March, I trained a really neat couple from Canada. He's an ER doc, and she's a stay-at-home mom, and they have 4 young kids, and they learned how to sail. They've already done 2 charters, and they're looking in the next year. They want to buy a boat and take at least a year to 2 sabbatical and sail through the Caribbean. And they're like, our kids are young. Why not now? And the pandemic has taught us you can do everything remotely, from working to kids got used to doing online education. So why not give it a shot?
Wow. 4 children on board. They better get a big boat.
Right. But that's the other thing we've seen, though, because when we first started, everyone was on monohulls, you know, and yeah, monohulls are great. They're a blast to sail, but the popularity of catamarans has just exploded in the last 5 years. And people realize you don't have to be crammed down in a dark hold, you know, with tiny little port lights and no light, and you're rocking like crazy. You can be on a big spacious catamaran that is nicer than most city apartments. And so I think catamarans too have really kind of opened up the doors for a lot of folks to get into sailing.
Well, and I need to point out that what's great about a catamaran is that mom and dad can be on this side of the boat and the kids can be on this side of the boat with everything in between.
Yes.
That is a plus. Yeah. Because
a game changer, monohull, right? You're not living on top of each other.
Right? Like a monohull. You're walking over top of each other. You know, you're bumping into each other, going to the head when you're trying to cook dinner. And I mean, it's crazy. But yeah, I was so impressed at this last boat show that I went to. I was lucky enough to get on board a few different catamarans of different sizes. Nice. They are like floating apartments. I mean, you know, and the stabilization as well. You know, if you're not comfortable with a monohull and you know, the rocking of the motion, a catamaran is the way to go.
It's a game changer. And I think too, with catamarans, people kind of look at them like, oh, they're giant floating condos. The reality is a lot of the times you're actually going faster in a catamaran than you are in a monohull on most points of sail, which really, why not? You've got a boat that goes faster. It has more space, more room. You've got that separation where you can be on different hulls. There's just so many benefits. I think one of the challenges has been cost. That's kept people out. But in the last couple of years, just with more and more folks making money, levels of, you know, affluence have gone up, people are able to afford catamarans, and it makes getting out on the water just so much more enjoyable.
Well, and the height as well. Like that was one thing I noticed, you know, with the monohull, sometimes you're kind of, you know, ducking in to get into places, whereas the catamaran, not a problem.
No, my wife loves it too. You know, it used to be, she would go down in the monohull to whip up something for dinner or for lunch, and you're down below and everybody else is up top enjoying something and it's stifling and you can't see out. And catamarans, everything's open. It's like our open floor plan living, you know, that we have in our homes that we so enjoy. And so she can be, you know, whipping something up for lunch and we're all kind of in and out, kids jumping off the back, whatever it is. And you feel a part of things.
Yeah. It's very American style sort of living. Mm. I guess Europe, it's not so much that way, but I know American style, you know, everybody rotates to the kitchen in an American home And yes. It's the same on a catamaran. Everybody sort of rotates through into the galley and hangs out and has a drink. And yeah, you can feel part of it all for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Because there's space.
Definitely. Yeah.
Wow. Well, you know what? I mean, it's the nice thing too about the catamarans that we're seeing now, and you know, companies such as Silent Yachts coming out, they are really taking a look at the environment in the future of catamarans. They are, you know, with the solar panels and different fuel options. I mean, it is coming a long way in creating a much cleaner experience.
Yes. And that's a huge draw. Nautilus has a catamaran in the Bahamas, and it has all huge solar bank, lithium batteries. It has a water maker on board. So we can basically, you know, it's a desalinator, converts salt water into fresh water. And all these systems can be run off solar panels. So you could sit for weeks at a gorgeous anchorage. And if you had internet, you know, you could even sit and work from there if you had to. And all the time, you're basically, you're not burning any fossil fuels. And so it is really, like you say, a really amazing way to see the world. And it's environmentally friendly too. Obviously, there's the cost of building the boat and there's lots of things that go into that. But more and more, they're really trying to use materials that are a little more eco-friendly and recycled and things like that.
Well, and yards are really taking a look at the way they dispose of everything nowadays and the products that they're using from the get-go. So it is changing.
Yeah, it is.
Hopefully quicker than past, but it is changing. The other thing is now with the fact that we have, and we were talking about this off air, you know, with Elon Musk and the ability to have internet wherever you go, because I don't know about you, but I mean, my experience with internet anywhere to do with boating, I don't care whether you're on the biggest yacht, you're the smallest yacht, it doesn't matter which, you know, which harbor you're in, where you're located, internet is sketchy.
Yeah.
I mean, in the maritime industry, internet is sketchy. But that's changing.
It is. And, you know, I mean, those days of trying to balance on one foot and reach up and move palm trees and all that to try to get, you know, one bar of 3G service so you could take care of whatever you need to. This is going to be a game changer with Starlink and what Elon Musk is doing. If we can all have those speeds where you could be anchored in a gorgeous bay and be able to upload and download and work for a couple hours. So many people have discovered since the pandemic that they can work remotely. And so why not? As the infrastructure gets put in place to have a better connection when you're on a boat anywhere in the world, amazing.
So where can people go? Like, where are you located? If people are interested and say, you know, I've got these 2 weeks coming up. I think that in the future, we might want to be a live aboard. Let's check into some sailing courses. Where in the world can they go with you guys?
So we want to give people an amazing life-changing experience, and we want to introduce them to a beautiful cruising ground, a place that's just incredible for sailing. You know, I learned how to sail in Southern California. It's nice, but it's not Tahiti, right? You can learn in England and you can learn in the Solent out of Southampton or something like that. You can learn, you know, in Galveston Bay or Miami, and yeah, they're okay, but it's not amazing. And so for us, we try to handpick destinations that are off the beaten track, but where you're going to get a taste of the cruising and sailing lifestyle that's just going to get you hooked for life. So our primary bases, we have two bases in the Caribbean. We do trips out of the Exumas in the Bahamas, which is shallow water sailing, beautiful reefs, snorkeling down for lobster, all that amazing. We sail in the Grenadines, which is the southern part of the Caribbean. Huge, dramatic volcanic islands, waterfalls, jungles, just rich, vibrant culture. They're called the Spice Islands. Really enjoy sailing there. We also do the Sea of Cortez in Mexico, which a lot of folks don't know about, but that's between mainland Mexico and kind of the Baja Peninsula. And it's, you know, 1,000 miles of just stunning, stunning marine life and beautiful little islands. One of the few places in the world you can sail into a beautiful bay, anchor, and be the only boat around with just nothing else. So that's great. And then Tahiti is kind of our premium destination. Again, it's over the top, stunning, beautiful. And then in the summertime, we love running courses in Europe. We do courses in Mallorca, which just love the rich history and, you know, and being able to pull into an old town and anchor up and stroll up and have a glass of Rioja or, you know, just have tapas and then sail out to Cabrera, the islands off the coast there. Love that. And then we're just opening a base in Croatia. Again, one of our favorite places to sail in Europe. So those are our 6 primary bases. We are the official sailing school for Dream Yacht Charters, which is the largest charter company in the world. They have 1,200 boats in 65 countries. So the beautiful thing about our partnership is if somebody says, I really want to do a private course in the Seychelles, Great, we can do it. You know, if they have a base there, we can do it. They want to learn in Thailand or the Whitsunday Islands or wherever it is, we can kind of give curated trips. But those are our six bases that we go to routinely, know the area well, and they're just great places to learn how to sail with the winds and all that.
Wow. I'm dreaming in my head right now.
I know, we need to get you on a boat then, don't we, Rhea? We'll have to.
I know, right? I know. Gosh, what a dream that would be, go sailing for, oh, heavenly, you know, away from the rest of the. I think that's probably one of the biggest attractions to sailing right now, is just to get away from the negativity that we see, you know, in social media. We are so attached to social media nowadays. I mean, you know, I remember, and I'm dating myself now, but I remember a day where the only phones that you had were attached to a wall. So when you left the home, that was it. You were, you know, on your own. And now, no matter what's going on in life, you are constantly inundated with it. No matter where you, it's depressing almost, you know? And the idea to get on a boat and go out with your family, feel, you know, the fresh air, the spray off the sea, to be able to see, you know, mammals and wildlife, and just breathe, stop and breathe, you know?
I think that's it, right? We're so busy now, right? Everything is just crazy busy, and we're connected all the time. We're always worried. And, you know, kids, I have two boys, 12 and 14, always different activities. We're always running different ways. We kind of feel like ships passing in the night, but there's something beautiful when our family gets a chance to go to the Bahamas for a week or 10 days or a couple of weeks. And we all kind of disconnect, and you anchor in a bay, and we're just present. And we have chances to chat and take afternoon naps or sit on the beach for 3 hours and do nothing, you know, and look for shells or paddleboard up to another little beach or go fishing together, whatever it is. And there's something magical about that, and just something special about just getting away from it all, like you say.
Well, and if the kids get annoying, it's great to be able to push them over the side of the boat too.
That's right. You're banned from the boat. Go to the beach, take a paddleboard. We don't want to see you for 3 hours.
Yeah. Later.
That's right. That's
so right. What's next for Nautilus Sailing?
Yeah, we'll see. We've grown, really been growing quickly over the last few years. We've really kind of set ourselves apart in the industry as the premium purveyors of liveaboard sailing courses. And part of that is just because of our curriculum, our background in education. And we've really just wanted to maintain quality from the boats that we use. We only use really new boats. And then the instructors, you know, the instructors are going to make or break your trip. If you're stuck on a boat with somebody for an entire week, you want to enjoy the time with them, right? You want somebody who's an amazing teacher, who's going to communicate the information, but you also want somebody who is going to be great to hang around with. So they know the little secret bars in Mallorca, or they know the really cool reefs to snorkel in the Bahamas, or they know where to get fresh fish from the fishermen in Tahiti. And so our instructors were unique in that we have a group of instructors that we fly in for your course. So our instructors are global nomads, and they'll fly, you know, 1 week they're in Tahiti, a few weeks later they're in the Grenadines, a few weeks after that they're in Croatia or wherever it is. And so we are flying our instructors in to make sure our clients are getting a premium experience. So we've been growing, and the challenge is now, how do you keep growing but really keep that sense of quality? So we've realized we don't ever want to be the giant 600 room Hilton. We would much rather be kind of the high end boutique kind of company that just really has an incredible rapport and relationship with our clients. So exciting stuff going on there. I think one of the biggest things we've seen, Rhea, just in the last few years is people aren't reading as much, like textbooks and things like that. The way we absorb information is much more through videos and online interactive things. So we're really trying to pioneer things in that space where we develop platforms for online learning and things that are just going to help people learn more quickly. And so it's been exciting to kind of do that. So we'll see where it all goes. And then one of the things that we really love is our alumni become part of this community. They do a trip and then they're like, we love Nautilus. What do we do next? So every year we do these flotillas around the world where we get together and hang out and sail. And with that alumni community, it's now almost 4,000 people strong. And so we're looking at ways where we can keep doing fun activities. So there's the thought of maybe we buy a round the world boat that just keeps sailing and taking alumni to places where there are no charter fleets, you know, to dive scuba dive in Papua New Guinea, or to surf remote reef breaks in the Tuamotus in the South Pacific, or to explore parts of Europe that, you know, there aren't boats. And so we're excited. We feel like there's so many cool opportunities. Don't know where it's all going to lead, but we'll see what happens.
Or pretty much anywhere in Canada where there's absolutely no charter boats.
There you go. I do. You know, it's funny. We laugh about like the higher latitudes. I really, my wife and I honeymooned up on Vancouver Island, and just, it is gorgeous on the west coast of Canada. We love that. And so I would love to do some trips too. And just kind of in the Inside Passage there, there's some neat sailing to be found.
Yeah. Well, I grew up about 2 hours from Prince Rupert, which is sort of on the Inside Passageway there between Seattle and Alaska. I tell you, just absolutely amazing. The scenery, the culture that is still almost untouched through the many islands, the Queen Charlotte Islands, et cetera.
Okay, yeah.
Yep. Just stunning, stunning scenery. I mean, yes, the weather isn't always beautiful, but I think that's part of what makes it sort of a mystique type area. You know, there's just so much to see. And it's such a shame. You know, I think part of the reason that there's not so many charter yachts up in that area is because of the Canadian laws. But I mean, there is just some untouched, I mean, from the West Coast, as you said, and then on the East Coast as well, you know, Newfoundland area.
Yes. Gorgeous, I'd love to sail that too. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
We find there's a lot of folks who sail around the world for years and years, they've circumnavigated. And we find that there's a trend. People kind of do the tropical latitudes, do all of that. And then many of these folks are coming back and now they want to sail the colder latitudes. So they're sailing up and exploring Iceland by sailboat or Greenland or, you know, Newfoundland and all that up in Labrador. And there's so many places. And so, you know, I'm still in the exciting stage where I am enjoying the warm weather and exploring kind of the tropical latitudes. But at some point in my journey with sailing, I would love to explore some of those colder latitudes.
Well, maybe that's the next direction for Nautilus Sailing.
Maybe, could be.
Huh?
Yep.
So when people book with you, that includes, I mean, you know, fuel that's needed, that includes food, et cetera.
We don't try to nickel and dime people. So basically our trips are all inclusive. You show up on the boat. We have all the meals on board ready to go. We actually have local provisioning teams that go to all the local farmers markets to get the freshest ingredients and things like that to bring on the boat. You show up on the boat, everything's covered. We usually do 3 or 4 evening meals ashore just to sample the local cuisine, because that's part of the experience of, you know, getting to know these islands. But apart from that, everything's included. You just need to get there. And then, you know, any incidentals, we don't provide alcohol, but we love, you know, having a glass of wine when the sunset goes down. So we take people out, pick up all your alcohol, whatever your beverage of choice is. But yeah, apart from that, everything's pretty much included.
Nice. Well, we're going to make sure to provide all of those links below this interview when it airs. So if you are interested in getting a hold of Nautilus Sailing, please do. It sounds like an absolute joy. And if anybody does, you know, I would love to be able to interview some of the people that have taken your courses in the past that are now embarking on living aboard around the world.
I'm sure we could arrange that. I'm sure people would love to share their stories.
Yeah, because it just sounds really cool. It sounds like, you know, something that once I get rid of my kids, I'd like to do.
There you go. We'll get you on a sailboat.
I'd love that. I'd love that. Tim, I want to say thank you ever so much for your time. It's been very much appreciated.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's been a neat experience. And hopefully our paths cross again. Maybe on one of these trips to Mallorca, we can get you on a catamaran and do some sailing.
I wouldn't say no.
Perfect. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you once again. You've been listening to Tim Giesler. He is the lead sailing instructor with Nautilus Sailing. As mentioned, all of the details below will be below this interview when it airs. So if you want to experience what it's like to live aboard, like a lot of people are doing nowadays, do drop them a line. You've been watching another edition of Yacht Crew Vlogs right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Rhea. I have been your host. We'll see you again soon.